It was Passover time, and Jerusalem was packed with pilgrims. Certainly no social distancing there. Every male Jew who lived within 20 miles of Jerusalem was obliged to attend this very important festival. And of course, there would have been many others who would have come from further afield. This festival, of course, commemorated the exodus of the Jews as they were led out by Moses from Egypt. But more specifically, it commemorates the way in which the angel of death passed over the homes of the Jewish people, sparing them from the death of the firstborn. Hence, of course, the name Passover. As Jesus makes his entry into the city, the people cry, Hosanna, praise to David's son, Hosanna. We tend to think, don't we, of that word Hosanna as meaning something like hail, an exclamation of adoration. And that is what it has generally come to mean in our day. But that wasn't the original sense of the word. The literal meaning was save now, save now. It was a people's cry for deliverance in their days of oppression and trouble. Many in that crowd saw Jesus as the one who would save them from the oppression of the Romans. And when that doesn't happen, some of them turn against him. And a few days later, of course, cry, crucify. How relevant this is, isn't it, for these days that we live in at the moment. Save now. Save now, Lord. Save us. Deliver us in these days of our trouble. Free us from this pandemic. Free us from the physical and economic and emotional impact that it is having on our lives. Lord, couldn't you just wave a magic wand and return everything to normality? But on that occasion, Jesus' response was not to answer their cry and to lift them out of their trouble. That would have been wonderful, wouldn't it? For them and for Jesus, liberation from the Romans with Jesus as their new king. But God had different intentions for Jesus. Not to bypass the suffering, but to face it head on and to struggle through it. Jesus would later pray in Gethsemane, Father, if it is possible, let this bitter cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done. This time it would not be a Passover, but a passing through. As the Lord says in Isaiah 43, when you pass through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the fire, you will not be burnt. Pass through, not pass over or pass around. It seems clear that this present crisis is not a case of passing over, but of having to pass through. Maybe it's not a coincidence that it's happening at a time when we are reminded of suffering and trial and ultimately death in the life of Jesus. Richard Rohr has had some challenging posts in his meditation this past week. In one, he writes, all great spirituality is about what we do with our pain. We cannot run from the necessary cycle of loss and renewal. Death and resurrection are lived out at every level of the cosmos, but only one species thinks it can avoid it, the human species. Close quote. As humans, we tend to do all that we can, don't we, to avoid pain and hardship. Like Eliza Doolittle in My Fair Lady, all we want is a room somewhere, far away from the cold night air, away from the the hard realities of life. But of course, the symbol of our faith is not a comfortable chair, but an empty cross. A cross, the symbol of Jesus' pain and anguish. Jesus didn't go straight from his triumphal entry to the empty tomb. He went through darkness and dereliction and death. He even had the experience of feeling God forsaken. My God, why have you forsaken me? And we too are tempted to ask why. God, why? Why all the suffering? Why have you allowed this? But in my experience, the why questions never get us very far. Even if we do come up with some answer, it's quite possible that somebody else will come up with a contrasting, different answer, but an equally convincing one. I think a better question, rather than why, is what? Lord, what can I learn from this time? Lord, what should I be doing in response to this situation? One of the things which I saw suggested in a post by another author, Tom Wright, is to rediscover what are called the Psalms of Lament. To use the agonized words of the psalmist to vent our own distress. For example, Psalm 88. Lord God, my Savior, I cry out all day. Hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for help. So many troubles have fallen on me that I'm close to death. I'm closed in and cannot escape. Why do you turn away from me? Darkness is my only companion. Such relevant words for these days of isolation that we live through. Let's not be afraid to bring to God not just our pleas for help, but also our cries of lament. Cries for ourselves, but also for others in even much more difficult circumstances. Refugees, or people crowded into a small shack, or doctors having to decide who gets a ventilator and who does not. Let's express our agonized cries rather than allow them to fester inside us or pretend that they just aren't there. The second thing that we can do is not to confuse God with life. Not to confuse God and life. Life is and always has been a mixture of good and bad, of tears of joy and tears of sorrow, of wonderful health and of debilitating illness. That has been the human condition since the very beginning of time, and so it will continue to be. So too it was for Jesus in his own life. Plagues are nothing new. The one difference is that they have seldom been as widespread as this one, mainly because of the amount of global travel at the moment. But life is a package deal, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death us do part. Let's not confuse life with God. Let's not attribute all that happens to God. But on the other hand, let's know that God shares in all of life with us. And that's the last point I want to make. As I said earlier, even though we must often pass through rather than pass over the struggles of life, we are never alone in those. Going back to Isaiah 43, when you pass through the deep waters, I will be with you, says the Lord. When you pass through the fire, you will not be burned, for I am the Lord your God. You are precious to me. Do not be afraid. I am with you. All those much loved words of David, even though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid, for you are with me. In a few moments, we will share in the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. The background to that hymn, which you may or may not know, is this. The author, Horatio Spafford, suffered a series of devastating blows in his life. First, financial ruin in the Great Fire in Chicago, and then the death of all four of his daughters in a shipwreck. His wife was with them but managed to survive. He himself was not on the voyage with the rest of the family. Despite these and other hardships in his life, he was able to pen these words. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Let's share in that hymn together now.